All right. Well, glory to God. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we have together. Hallelujah, around your word. Father, we thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit that is here in this place today. And we make him welcome. Everybody right now, say, welcome, Holy Spirit.
Welcome, Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah. So, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Hallelujah. We are here to honor God, to magnify God, to do the will of God, to minister his holy word in a manner that is pleasing and accepted by him, that brings glory to his name. Hallelujah. We're honored by your presence here today. Hallelujah. In our service as we have gathered together. Thank you, Father, for all those that are watching the live stream with us. And I pray, Father God, that everyone that's under the sound of my voice will have ears to hear your word and a heart to receive your word. Because we know that your word is life-giving. It is life-giving. Hallelujah. So we thank you for that. Father, thank you for the call and the anointing that you've placed upon me to minister your word. And I will forever, Father, give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. All right. I'm going to pick up once again pretty much where we left off last week. You know, the Lord is looking for a church, his church, that is without spot and without wrinkle. In other words, God is expecting us to get rid of, to release all those little foxes. I'll say it that way. All those little foxes, all those things that we choose to hold on to that God is not pleased with. Now, understand, God does love you. Amen. God loves us. He loves us. Praise God. And we don't ever want to lose sight of the fact that we are loved by God. Amen. We're loved by God. But God wants to use us for his glory. And every one of you that's watching me in this sanctuary and everyone that's live streaming with us, I am here to tell you that God has given you something valuable that he wants to use for his glory. Amen. 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 You are not just someone taking up space. You're not just someone walking around breathing God's free air. But you are someone that God wants to use. Amen. And when he made you, he broke the mold. There's nobody else like you. Amen. You may have a twin, but they're not like you. They may look like you on the outside, but they're not you and they're not like you. Amen. God had a special plan for you. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Well, it's the truth. God had a special plan for you. Amen. Now, we've been talking, my subject has been developing your character. And that's what we as believers must do continually, is develop our character. Amen. Make sure that when we say that we are a Christian, that our character represents what we are saying. Or that our character, let me say it this way, that our character reflects the words of our mouth. Amen. Yeah, I've been around people in my life that say, well, you know, I'm a Christian and I'm this and I'm that. And man, the least little thing happened, man, and they go off and they forget that they are a Christian. Amen. So we want to make sure that we develop our character, that whatever comes down the pipe, that we are still like Jesus. We are still godly. And we understand that we can handle anything. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, last week, I began ministering to you concerning pride. Turn in your Bibles once again to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. That's one of the areas in the body of Christ that we have to deal with, and we need to go ahead and deal with it. In Proverbs chapter 6, beginning at verse 16, I'll just read two verses. It says, these six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. Now, we're not going to cover all seven right now, but let's look at verse 17. It says, a proud look, and it goes on to say, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. But it starts out, number one, a proud look. In other words, God hates pride. He doesn't hate the person, but he hates the pride that some people have. Amen? Now, if you flip forward to the 16th chapter of Proverbs, look at verse 18. It says, pride goes before what? Destruction. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Listen, if we are fully full of pride, and if it's all about us, if it's all about us, we're destined to fall. We're going to stumble. Amen. Now, let me read verse 18 again, then we're going to move on, and I'm going to give you some examples of what we're talking about here. Verse 18 again. Pride goes before destruction. In other words, we can say it this way. Destruction follows pride. And a haughty spirit before a fall. If you have a haughty spirit, you're destined to fall. Amen. Hallelujah. You've heard me say this, and I've heard others say it. It didn't originate with me. But your gifts and your talents can take you to levels that your character can't keep you. We've all seen people that's come on the scene and they're gifted in some area, they're talented in some area, and after a while, we hear they've fallen. Something's happened. They did something stupid or acted in some way that whereas at one point they were up here, but now they are down here. Their gifts and talents got them here, but their character couldn't keep them there. You still with me? Now, let me give you an example of why pride is such a bad thing and is such a dangerous thing in the body of Christ. We got to deal with it. And remember, I told you last week, I don't want to re-preach last week's sermon, but even as a believer, if you're not careful, you can easily get caught up in pride. God began to promote you. God elevates you. And all of a sudden, you forget to give God the glory. And you begin to look at yourself. And a lot of time it happens when other people recognize your talents, your gifts from God, and they begin to tell you what a blessing you are. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Excuse me. There's nothing wrong with that, to tell you what a blessing that you are, how their lives have been blessed by you, your singing ministry or your preaching ministry or whatever it is that you do, because you don't have to, sing or preach for God to use you. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes people think if I don't have some type of office or a gift or where I can stand out before people, God is not using you. Well, we hadn't got there yet, but I got proof from the Word of God that you don't have to be on the forefront for God to use you. But a lot of times when people are blessed, you pray for someone and they get healed or they receive a miracle, and they'll come back and they'll say, thank you, and you're such a blessing to me. Matter of fact, they sometimes people want to give to you because they consider you to be a blessing. But there have been times when folks have taken that and embraced it and kept it to themselves rather than sending it on up to God. Because Jesus told us without him, we can do nothing. So it doesn't matter how good you can sing, how good you can preach, how much of the word you know, whatever. The glory goes to God, doesn't it? The glory goes to God. And that's what I want to get established or help get established in the body of Christ is, don't forget to give God the glory. Whatever good that you do, give God the glory, because you could not do that good without God's helping you, without God empowering you and enabling you. We couldn't even get out of bed in the morning without God's blessings. Couldn't do it. We need God's blessings. In other words, in every area of our life, we need God. Now, when people say nice things about you, you accept it, say thank you, praise God, I appreciate that. I'm not saying be cocky and arrogant and say, no, you shouldn't say it. No, just be kind, and because people are going to say nice things about you. But you got to understand where it come from. It's not about us. It's not about us. It's all about him. Why don't you say that with me? Say, it's not about me.
It's not about me.
It's all about him.
It's all about him.
Amen. And say this. Say, without him,
there
would be no me. Amen. God is good, folks. God is good. Amen. Now, there was a fella. I guess you could classify him as a fella. For my purposes right now, classify him as a fella. That was highly blessed of God. Had an extremely effective ministry for God. Used by God. But he did not remain in his position. And the reason he didn't remain in his position was because he got all caught up with himself. He was stuck on himself. And his name was and still is Lucifer. Now, turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke for a moment. We're going to look at some things. The book of Luke, chapter 10. Luke 10. Now, in Luke chapter 10, drop down to verse. Well, I tell you what. Let me see where I want to start here. You know, in Luke chapter 10, let's take a look at verse 1 first. It says, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. All right, you see that? Let me read it to you again. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. All right? Now drop down to verse 17. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Lord, even the demons or devils are subject to us in your name. Verse 18. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall. I saw Satan fall. You see that? I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And let me go ahead and read verse 19 while we're at it. And listen what Jesus said. Behold, I give to you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. But notice what Jesus said when they came back rejoicing and said, Lord, I want to tell you, man, we had some good meetings. Oh, my. Can you imagine the excitement they had? Man, we cast out devils in your name, and they had to go. But Jesus pointed out something to them, and he said, I saw, past tense, I saw Satan fall like lightning. What Jesus was saying is Satan fell because he is now, well, the demons are subject to you because Satan is now defeated. He was kicked out of heaven, but there is a reason he was kicked out of heaven. There is a reason that he fell from heaven. He's not in the high position. He doesn't hold the high position that he used to hold. And he'll never hold that position again. Can somebody say amen to that?
Amen.
He'll never, ever hold that position again. Praise God. See, we got two sermons in one here, but I'll just stick with one. Praise God. But the question is then, since Jesus saw him fall, why did he fall? Why did he fall? Because what happened to him is an example to us what not to do. Pride is not of God. Let me say that again. Pride is not of God. Pride elevates self. Pride says, I'm better than you. Pride says, oh, look at me. Pride says, I'll walk all over you to get what I want because I'm the only one that's important. Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah 14. Now, in Isaiah 14, drop down to verse 12. It says, make sure I can separate my pages here. All right. Verse 12, it says, how are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground? You who weaken the nations. And he is still working with the nations today. Listen to me. All this stuff that's going on around the world, the fighting, all this stuff, Satan is behind it. The devil is behind it. Amen. The devil is behind it. Now, verse 12 again. How are you falling from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How you are cut down to the ground. You who weaken the nations. Verse 13. Now listen to this. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Now, you do know that Satan or Lucifer is a created being. See, he can't say like Jesus says. Remember Moses, when God spoke to Moses and told Moses to go back to Egypt and deliver my people out of the hand. God told him to do that. Go back to Egypt, you deliver my people, the children of Israel, you deliver them out of the hands of Pharaoh. And of course, you know Moses argued with God, tried to reason with him, Lord, I can't talk, blah, 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 you know, I don't speak well. And he went on and on and on, trying to reason with God, because the fact of the matter is, Moses didn't want to do it. How many of us, God's told us to do things we didn't want to do? So Moses tried to make up some excuses. So Moses said, well, they probably not going to believe me when I tell them you sent me. You know, that, so they're not going to believe me. So what am I going to tell them? What if they ask me who sent me? And God says, tell them that I am sent you. Hallelujah. And now we move on over into the Gospels. And Jesus told some folks, and this is Jesus, he's Jesus, the Son of God, but he is God the Son. Amen? Yeah. Jesus told some folks that before Abraham was, you know, they're bragging about, you know, we're children of Abraham, this, that, and the other. But Jesus told them, says, before Abraham was, some of y'all know where I'm going with this. Before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. So God is the great I am. He is the great I am. Hallelujah. He's in our past. He's in our present. And he's in our future. Y'all listening to me? Let me say that again. Somebody need to hear that. God is in your past. God is in your present. And God is in your future. Now, you heard me, but you didn't hear me. I say God is in your past. I didn't say he was. God is in your past. God is in your present. And God is in your future because he is I am. Amen. Now, you see here again in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13, Lucifer is saying, well, God is saying about Lucifer, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into the heaven. I will exalt my throne. Notice how he said that. My throne above all the stars of God. Notice the I. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the furthest sides of the north. Now here is the created telling the creator what he's going to do. He cannot say that I am. Because he was created just like we were. Hallelujah. Now it gets worse. Look at verse 14. There's that word I. I will. You know, that's pride, ain't it? It's all about I. It's all about me. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Oh, this is bad. I will be like the Most High. No wonder the Word of God tells us that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before fall. He was setting himself up to fall. And we have the Word of God as examples for us to follow, so that we don't make the same mistakes others have made. Do you ever wondered why God never hide anybody's mistakes in the Bible? He didn't hide David's. David had a man killed so he could get his wife. He didn't hide Abraham's. And these were men that were mighty used of God. Now they all repented. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. They all repented. Abraham did some stuff. Had a child by someone that wasn't his wife. And by the way, just because Abraham did it, there's no excuse for us to do it. Can I get amen on that? because sin always costs you. God forgave David, but he paid a high price for his decisions. Y'all hear me? Yes, Lord, he paid a high price for his decisions. So God don't hide their mistakes. Even the ones that has done mighty works for him, God doesn't try to hide. You know what? We can learn. We can learn from David's mistake. We can learn from Abraham's mistakes. You hear me? That's the reason it's here for us to learn from, so that we don't make the same mistakes that they made. And we want to learn from the mistake that Lucifer made. He said, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Now, let me tell you something else. He still has not changed his nasty attitude. He still wants to be worshiped. Even in his fallen state, he wants to be worshiped. So that pride that was found in him is still there. It's still there. And that's the reason. Matter of fact, one day there's coming a fellow called the Antichrist. The Bible talks about him. The Antichrist. And he's known as the man of sin. That's what the Bible calls him. The man of sin. He's the Antichrist. The man of sin. And he's going to deceive a lot of people. You hear me? He's going to deceive a lot of people. We talked about this some yesterday morning. There's going to be some folks that follow him. Some of those folks are going to be religious people. You hear me? Some are going to be religious people that he's going to deceive into following him. He is the son of the devil. He is of the devil, sent by Satan. The Bible talks about it. But he will have the same type of attitude that Lucifer has. That's the reason the Bible says that he himself will go into the rebuilt temple at that time. At that time, the temple will be rebuilt in Jerusalem. He will go into the temple and proclaim himself God. Why? Because he wants to be worshiped. He wants to be worshiped. He wants all attention on him. So he's going to proclaim himself to be God. But I like what happened here in Isaiah chapter 15. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 15. Listen at this. Well, let's go back to 14. He said, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And verse 15 says, yet you shall be brought down to Sheol. If you got a regular King James Bible, it'll say hell. you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest part of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth to tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners? And he's still not opening the house of his prisoners. Guess who came to set the captive free? Jesus Christ. Satan not going to set them free, but Jesus came to set the captives free. Hallelujah. He said, God has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And he went on to announce what his ministry was all about. But listen, this is my point. This is my point. All of this came about because of pride. Lucifer was stuck on himself. And he wanted to be like God. He wanted to be like the Most High. He wanted to be worshiped. Well, do you know we have people like that today? Amen. We have people like that today. But let's make up our minds that, no, I'm not going down that road. I was lost. I once was lost, like the song says. I once was lost, but now I am found. Hallelujah. And whatever I am by the grace of God. That's what the Apostle Paul said. He said, whatever I am. Or he said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Now, let me tell you something. And I'm getting ready to close this out. How many of you want to be used by God? Come on, raise your hand. You want to be used by God. Amen. All right. I see hands all over the place. Let me put mine up too. Praise God. Remember this. God told Saul, the king of Israel, God told Saul, he says, when you were little in your own eyes, I gave you the kingdom. Did y'all hear that? When you were little in your own eyes, I gave you the kingdom. But when Saul became puffed up, what happened? He lost the kingdom. If you want to be mightily used by God, keep yourself small in your own eyes and let God exalt you. And he will. Because when you are little in your own eyes, you become more sensitive to God. Your ears are open to God. Because why? Because you're not trying to do your own thing. You're not developing your own thing. Your ears are open to him, to follow him. Because you're committed to doing his thing. Amen. Praise God. Did this bless you today?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. And we know that your word will never, ever return to you void. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. If you're watching the live stream now, live or